Amen.
Notice that it says that every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness. In other words, he does not change, neither shadow of turning. Amen. Nothing to change. God is perfect. Amen.
Yes, he is.
And we thank God for every opportunity. We're going to go ahead without any further delay to get you into the word today. And we are continuing, as Brother G has told you, in our series. And we want to take you one notch deeper in your understanding today. Amen. And if you have missed any of the messages thus far, they are posted online at sttmbc.org, which is the St. Timothy link to the site. Mm-hmm. Or you can go, as you see, to teachingbible.org. That's at the top of the handout that you got here today. Amen. And so we're going to go right ahead. I'm going to ask the deacons to come at this time and read for us a passage from the Old Testament and also a passage from the New Testament. Amen.
This reading is from the Old Testament, Hosea 4:1-6. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood.
Mama.
Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwell therein shall languish, with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophets also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children.
Amen. A strong word from the Lord to the people of the Lord. And now for the New Testament scripture reading.
From 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 7. I exalt therefore,
God bless you,
that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. And one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity.
Amen. You have heard the word of the Lord. To the people of the Lord, you may be seated in the sanctuary. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word. And we are going to use for a topic today, knowledge of the truth is the gear against fear. Knowledge of the truth is the gear against fear. Amen. We thank God for your presence today. I want to give special thanks and a shout out to our visitors once again. We thank God for you coming. And you're in the midst of a series of things, but we do thank the Lord for you being here. And as we said, you can go online and hear the other messages. We think every one of them is a crucial portion of what you need in the times that we're living in. Amen. So today we just want to take a look. I want to say a few things concerning the covenant people. We talked about the nation of Israel a lot of times, and when I first got saved, that was one of the things that was kind of perplexing to me. Why is so much talk in the Word about Israel, and what is this about the Jews and all of that? Because you don't know. You really have not had much understanding until you get in the Word. Why is God always talking about the Israelites and the Jews, okay? And contrary to what you hear, a popular myth that's in the land today, that the Jews are the black people. Well, they want to say that. Well, that's a biblically incorrect statement, first of all, because it doesn't make any difference, first of all, what color you are. The gospel that God has put out is to the world. So that includes every man, woman, boy, and girl on the planet. So what color you are, insignificant point. No matter who you are, what color you are, don't let go try to possess and say, we're these people. That won't help you. The only one can help you is Jesus. He's the only one who can help you. And he can help you whether you're black, white, Chinese, whatever. Name something. Name a nationality. And we are to go in the world and teach all the nations. So it includes every living soul, every man, woman, boy, and girl on the planet. So don't get hung up in a cultish kind of thing where you need to be in this specific group here to be right. No, you need to be in the group of either you're saved or you're lost.
That's right.
I like a quote I heard from the late Dr. J. Vernon McGee. He says, there's two kinds of people in the world. There are believers and make-believers. And some people in the church, they might supposed to be a believer, but they might be a make-believer, maybe you're playing church. But if you're in the church, you trust God, that God has given his son, and that by Jesus Christ alone, who was crucified, buried, and risen, a historic fact, not some myth, not some speculation. The calendar 2017 is based on the birth of Christ. So that's a very salient point that's known the world around. And so we preach a universal message to all men, women, boys, and girls, regardless of color or any nationality, that has nothing to do with it. So the significance of Israel, to get back to my original train of thought, is that at a time in history, this is what the Bible catalogs for us, God produced the people who came out of a Gentile primarily. Let's say Abraham was a Gentile. He was called out of the Ur of the Chaldees. God told him, forget about your Gentile heritage. I'm paraphrasing what is meant. Come somewhere to another place. I'm going to show you. And I'm going to give you a land somewhere else. I'll make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I'm going to use you and your seed to bless the world. That's what he said. In your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So he promised the blessing all the way at the beginning. So there were no Israelites at that point in the narrative. There were all Gentiles in the world. Abraham was 75, didn't have any children, had no offspring. See, he was married to Sarai and she had no kids. Her womb was not able to produce at the time. And we found that out later on because it wasn't Abraham's fault. She told him, go lay with Hagar, and he was able to produce. So it was the womb of Sarai that was not, that was barren, as the Bible says. The seed of Abraham was living. And see, that tells you something about mankind right there. Mankind, without the intervention of God, simply put, is toast. That's my simple interpretation. If God doesn't make a way of salvation, there is no way of salvation. But I want you to know, and our good news is that we're not here to preach bad news. We have the good news, the best news in all of the universe, that God did something about it. He caused this couple that we talk about there, Sarai and Abram, to produce an offspring whose name was Isaac. And it was, he said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That was the second generation, Abraham, Isaac. And then Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau, and he blessed through Jacob to multiply Israel into 12 tribes. So these are people who would not have existed had it not been for the intervention of God. That's what I want you to see. So what's important about Israel is that they are a people group that God intervened in the life of a Gentile to produce, through whom he would give the scriptures, the word of God. He would give the revelations of God. He was present with them. He bore them along through their multiplication in the times that he had called them, in all the lands wherever they were. And he, through them, produced the word of God. Basically, it was given to the prophets who came out of the seed of Abraham through the nation of Israel. He dedicated a land mass to them, a small little speck of real estate, which is in the middle of all the controversy in the world right now today. The little real estate that God invested in Israel within in the state of California, I'm told multiple times, probably 48 or 50 times, the whole nation. See, so this is what God was doing. He's making a nation for his own possession, a special people group. Throughout that entire time, God never alienated a Gentile, however. If there was anyone else who believed, we see that in the Bible narrative. We see how Ruth, the Moabitess, who was a Gentile, married into the family of God. And God accepted her. We see Rahab, the harlot of Jericho, by faith, trusting in what the message was from God, and being saved. That means you could be a prostitute. If you trust God's word and believe in him, God is able to save you. It doesn't make any difference what you were doing, what background you came from. We see a Syrian in the book of Bible named Naaman. He was an Assyrian, had leprosy, and he trusted in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he was saved. We see so many in the Old Testament, it bears record of Gentiles who trusted in the name of God and we're saved. And the message you and I have today is the same. Doesn't make any difference what people group you come from. We have the most broad, wide open message to the most people of any other so-called religion in all the world. Okay, and these other things, religion is man's methods and approaches to try to reach God and make himself right with God on the basis of his own works, his own deeds. But salvation is a gift that God sends into the world. And you know what? You ought to trust it more, because the world's configured around Jesus, God's plan. Amen. He sent him in. It's 2017 only because of Jesus, no one else. See, and you know what? It cannot be denied. It's an undeniable fact in your life every day. Your birth certificate was based on his. Y'all know I like to say that. I talk about that all the time. And the reason is because it's a fact. I'm not up here speculating at the pulpit. But the people of Israel are still critical to the plan of God. He said to Israel, even though they were his people, they didn't do everything right. The Bible is a record that they failed God over and over and over. By the time we get to the time of Hosea, God used the prophet Hosea. You can read the earlier part of the book if you haven't, and I recommend you do. He told him, go and marry a harlot. Find a woman that's a harlotress, adulteress woman, and marry her. And the reason he did that is somewhat metaphoric, because when he married himself to Israel, he was marrying a harlot. She was not going to be faithful to him. She was not going to do him right. She was not going to abide with him and keep his household the way he wanted it. And so she failed miserably. And here we get to this fourth chapter in Hosea, and he tells us something I wanted to zoom in on, because today me and you live in a similar time. This country was supposed to be founded on righteousness and truth. You hear people talking about we've been endowed with these inalienable rights by our Creator. Oh, okay, is that what it says in the document? Yes. Well, why don't you abide in the inalienable rights of the Creator? Why don't you know His Word? Why did you dismiss the Bible from the center of culture about 50 years ago? Why do you say now let's cut the bra straps and let the women rise up and rebel? Why do you say all that if you really believe that there is a Creator? He has a standard. Why do you say all these other things? Let men marry men and women marry women. When God says that in the beginning he created them male and female, and he said that the two become one flesh. Why do we rebel against everything God said? Why do we throw his book out? Say, throw the Bible out. Take the Ten Commandments down out in the courthouse. Let's just go ahead and let go and let us, not let God. You know, that's what we have done. Same thing Israel did. Let's back up and look here. Hosea brings a report. He says here, looking at the text, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, that's throwing out the Bible, no mercy, that's what happens when you don't understand mercy, nor a knowledge of God in the land. The land is empty of the knowledge of God. You want to know what's wrong with America? Same problem. No knowledge of God in the land. We don't care about what God said, what thus said the Lord. We only want to do whatever makes us happy. So this is how you can tell. This is Israel, though, here. We're reading about the covenant people. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out in blood, toucheth blood. Does that sound like the newspaper yesterday? Or the midnight news, we hear about all this lying and killing and stealing, and somebody stole somebody's car and then they went drove into somebody's living room and killed them while they was being chased by the police and all this kind of thing. We hear about it right here. Sounds like yesterday's newspaper to me. Therefore, he said, because you all have done this, you disregarded my word, you didn't do anything I said, therefore shall the land mourn and everyone that dwelleth therein. You know what? When people do that, it affects us all. Maybe you live in a neighborhood that you used to be able to drive in and out of. Now it has big barricades all set up in there and you have to go the other way to get off your street. When I was a kid, you could drive up and down any street. You know, and now today, they got certain areas cut off. Well, we don't want you. We did this. Why? Because the bad people, we want to stop them. But you stopping me. And I don't do bad. And you put a barrier down in the end of my street. What you do that for? Because it's in the land and you're going to make the people who are trying to do right suffer for the people who are doing wrong. It's not so much about what you're doing, but look at the text here. He says, therefore the land shall mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish. That means a barrel long time under pressure and disappointment. With the beasts of the field, with the fowls of heaven, yea, the fishes of the sea shall be taken away. These are the things we depend on for food, all these other things. And so he says, yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priests. The priest was the mediator between God and the people. The people came to the priest to make their offering to sacrifice to the Lord when they were because of their sin. But the people are against, they strive with the priests. You see that? The man of God doesn't have a standing anymore with the public. They'll talk about you and call you a bigot because you say the truth, what God's word says. Therefore, he says, shalt thou fall in the day. And the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. Now, he's not talking about your physical mother. He said this is the mother. Well, mother is someone who produces a thing, who brings forth a thing. So the people who brought forth this discontentment between God and the people, you can say they gave birth to a thing. And this is about human policy, not necessarily your physical mother. He says, now notice the summary here in verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Not just any old knowledge, but the knowledge of the truth. The knowledge of God. Why? Because thou rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget your children. Amen. Now you know what? People who don't know the word of God, guess what's happening? They aren't teaching it to their children, are they?
Amen.
If you don't know it, how are you going to teach it to your child?
That's right. Amen.
Who are you going to raise? Somebody godly or somebody like you?
Amen.
If you've thrown out the Bible.
Yeah.
The children suffer because the parents have thrown out the word of God.
Yeah.
It's not the standard in their household.
Amen.
And so this happened to Israel, the covenant people. Now again, why do you hear so much about Israel? Because we're learning through Israel and the things that are written about them in God's word, how he deals with people.
Amen.
You know what? God has never been a respecter of person. Even though he had Israel, that's the reason why Gentiles were getting saved all through the Bible.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
All the time. God never rejected a believing Gentile. Not at one time.
No.
And so this is the thing that is a problem. The problem with Israel was that instead of walking in the knowledge of God as a witness to the surrounding Gentile world, that's why God gives his word.
Yeah.
He wants some people who believe him to walk with him and do what is right.
Amen.
Then they can be a witness to the rest of the people.
Amen.
You know why? Because God doesn't want any of the people to be lost. No matter who they are, Jew or Gentile, male or free,
right.
No matter what you're involved with, God is able to get you and help you, bless you. He wants to adopt you to be his own child.
Yes.
So he put a people there who were centered on him so they would affect the rest of the people for him.
Amen.
And so this is where Israel began to fail. The problem with Israel is that instead of walking in the knowledge of God as a witness to the surrounding world of Gentiles, that they so many times had chosen to imitate the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do. We want to be like the world. we don't want to be like what God said we should be. Mm-hmm. Rather than being a positive witness of God in their midst. That's what the church is supposed to do today. That's what Israel was supposed to do. Mm-hmm. They were supposed to live upright before the people. Yeah. And then the people will see the blessings that God was giving them because they were his people. Yeah. Walking right in the land. Amen. And they would desire, what is that that's got those people so blessed over there? Mm-hmm. And so happy. But they didn't do it. Rather than being positive with a witness of God in their midst as the covenant people who have been called by God to represent him. That's what you and I are. We're covenant people. In other words, we believe God's promise. But instead, they opted to seek that fallen worldly way of life like the unbelievers. That's why I say, are you a believer or a make-believer? You know, and what we want to tell you, though, is that that produces a lot of fear. When the multitude of the culture turns away from God, it becomes common, then the people who trust God seem like few in the midst. And you feel a little pressure when you try to stand up and stand for God. Mm-hmm. It creates a pressure that you don't have if you don't do that. So some people say, oh, we never talk about politics or religion. How many times have you heard that? Those are two subjects that always start an argument, politics or religion, you see. But the fact is, God said, you need to witness for me. Stand up and be a witness for me. Now, God, this is what I want you to see in all of this. I want you to see God's attitude. Look at 1 Timothy 2 and 1. Paul writing here, who used to be a Jew that hated the church because the church was calling itself the church and it was people of Israel, but they were accepting Gentiles and people who weren't brought up in Hebrew culture. And now Paul was one of those who hated the Gentiles. But he got converted on the Damascus Road. He writes this letter to Timothy. He says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications and prayers and intercessions and the giving of thanks be made for all men. You see that?
All men.
We're supposed to be praying for the lost. Mm-hmm. We're not in here to criticize the lost. We're not in here to bash the lost. God wants everyone to be saved. So we are to pray for anybody, it says, and everybody. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and the giving of thanks. We are to say thank you, God, for the people who don't thank him. We are to pray for them, the people who don't love him. We are to pray for the ones who don't know him. We are to pray for people like our people hate Donald Trump these days. Okay, pray for Donald Trump. That's what you should do. You shouldn't hate on him and slander him and throw him down. Because you know what? He wouldn't be there if God hadn't put him there. Pray for Vladimir Putin. That he gets saved. That's what my prayer is for him. That you come to know Christ as your Savior. That you walk right before a holy God. Because God has one way for all of you to be right. No matter who you are, no matter what your political persuasion, no matter what your position is in the world, whether you be high or low, we are to pray for all. That's what the covenant people should do. He says, I exhort, therefore, I'm going to read that again, that first of all, this is first and foremost, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and the giving of thanks be made for all men. This is in the context of the church. He's instructing Timothy as a pastor what to do and how the church should be conducted. We want to pray for everybody.
Yes.
Notice as he gives more proof. Verse 2, for kings and for all that are in authority. That they may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That's what we want to ask God to do for those who are in charge, who are in authority. You may not like them. You may hate their guts. But God told you, don't hate anybody, first of all. He said, love everyone, even your enemy, but pray for them as well. Now, for this is good and acceptable. You want to know why? Verse 3. For if this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. You know why? Because God is in charge. Whoever it is not going to do anything that God does not allow them to do. And if he allows them to do it, you need to pray for them and roll with the punches, go with the flow. Notice this is the reason for it, verse 4. 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. There is such a thing as the knowledge of the truth. The knowledge of the truth is God's word. The knowledge of the truth is the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has decreed that there's one way for all men, women, boys, and girls to be right. I so love the world that I gave my only begotten son, so that whosoever believes in him should not perish. Our message is black and white, point blank clear. Whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. It says here that God will have all men, see that, to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Why? Because there, verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Could you be more clear than that?
Nope.
How many gods are there? There's one. How many mediators between God and men? One. What is his name? His name is Jesus. There's one. That's our message. I don't care if it's not politically correct, Pastor Fitzgerald, for you to say that there's just one God and disrespect all these other religions. Well, I didn't say it. God said it. The scripture says it. If you don't like it, tell it to God. If you don't like it, tell it to God. I'm going to tell you what he told me to do. He told me to pray for you and tell you there's one God and one mediator, and his name is Jesus. You know what? His name is not even Mary. Somebody might tell you, ask the Blessed Mother. No. There's one mediator between God and men. The man, Jesus Christ. Well, but the Pope said, talk to Mary. Well, the Pope is not God. And I don't care who you are. If you're not God, the Bible says one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. See? Now, why him? Verse 6. Who gave himself a ransom for all. Who died on the cross? One person. Who got up out the grave? One person. Who has power and is mighty to save? One person. Who defeated the problem of sin? The wages for sin is death. Nobody but Jesus. Who sits at the right hand of God and makes intercession for all men? Jesus. So no one else. Understand that. And I didn't write it. God did. More people used to believe this because the Bible was in the center of culture. Now the Bible's been cast to the back and thrown out, burnt, put away by most of the culture.
What's wrong with these folks?
And they think something's wrong with you. You bigoted Christians coming in here talking about there's one way to be saved. Well, call me what you like. But God, the knowledge of the truth is what people need. That's why we have a problem right now.
Yeah.
No knowledge of the truth. Mm-hmm. So as we walk within a culture of fallen people, it must become the focal point within our minds that not only drives out fear. Mm-hmm. You know, you can be fearful. You start talking about the truth and people start hating on you. Mm-hmm. But what is it that's going to drive away that fear? It's going to be the knowledge of the truth.
That's right.
So as we walk in that culture with the fallen people, it must become the focal point within our minds that not only drives our fear, but also unifies our purpose.
Yes.
With that of God the Father.
Amen.
Who has invested the very life of Jesus, his Son, so that believers can live life without fear and become witnesses to unbelievers, as well as being intercessors calling on God to make all the required adjustments. I can't change any of these people.
That's right.
But you know what? I can ask God to do it.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
I can't tell Donald Trump repent. I can tell him, but I mean, I can't make him do it. But I can surely tell him.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people get in a situation like that, and I've seen it. So-called preachers, I see them on TV, they suddenly forget all about Jesus.
Amen. All about Jesus.
I said, boy, y'all better not put a camera and a mic over this way. I'm going to be right up in your face with the truth. You may not ever put it on the air, but you're going to have to clip the audio and clip the video, because I'm going to surely tell you the truth. You give me the chance, because I've been told to do it, and I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You know, I mirror Paul in that way, that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. At one time, he was ashamed, but when he understood that it's the only way you can be saved, it changed his whole mind about everything that he did.
Yeah.
And his whole life was adjusted by that.
Yeah.
So the more we learn of the truth, which is the word of God, I mean the Holy Scriptures, I'm not talking about a bunch of different other stuff that people say is from God. The Holy Scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, which God sealed with a curse, that's what I'm talking about. The Bible. The more fearless we shall become as we learn the life-changing truth, which, as Jesus stated, shall make us free. You want to be free? He said what? If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See that? And so we also shall realize that it is God's will that everyone be saved. So they're not going to get saved if we doctor the truth. So you and I have to learn not to play around with the truth.
That's right.
The truth is what will make you free.
Nothing else.
You know, and so if I start telling you all kinds of stuff and compromising what God said, I'm working with the devil.
That's what you are. Right?
Whoever's compromising or changing what God said, that's how you tell who's telling you the truth. And who the liar is. The devil is the one who wants all this other stuff to take a toll in the world.
Yeah.
See, but there's one truth. One way, one truth. The Bible says one Lord, one faith, one baptism, Ephesians 4 and 5. See, one God and one Father who is above all. That's what the book of Ephesians says. Let us stand at this time. Amen. It's going to be difficult. You know what? The times are coming that are going to sift the believers from the make-believers. There's coming a time that's going to sift true believers from make-believers. When people start to crush under the pressure, because we're seeing it now, that the world is trying to get into a one-world system.
That's right.
And only the people who trust the truth of God are going to be the ones who stand. And the rest of the people, it doesn't mean we won't be martyred or taken out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it might be. Maybe people get to the point where folks like me who have a dogmatic opinion may be taken out. If so, I'm good. You need to be like John the Baptist.
Right.
You know, he said, you know, go ahead. Whatever they say, you go and ask him, is he the one, or should I look for another?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I believe John always knew that he was the one.
Mm-hmm.
I think his disciples were wondering, well, how could he be the Messiah, and you're in the jail, about to get your head cut off?
Yeah.
So he told him, you go to him and ask him, is he the one?
Yeah.
I think John knew. People say he started out before he died. No, I don't think so. But I think John knew.
You knew.
He was called and sent on a mission before he was even born.
Yeah.
To be the forerunner of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It was him who said in John 1:29, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Yeah.
He is the one. He knew that. I believe John knew that.
Yeah.
And God witnessed to John when he baptized Jesus.
Right.
And he brought him up out the water and said, the Spirit of the Lord descended up on him in the grace of a dove and lighted up on him. And he heard a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. Worship him. I'm well pleased with him. God said all those things about his son. I believe John knew that. Think about Stephen in the book of Acts. You know, he was telling them the truth right out the word, kind of like the course of what our message was today.
Mm-hmm.
For God called you Israelites out of Israel, and he made a people for his own possession.
Yeah.
See, and he went on down that whole story and told how it got up to 42 generations later. His son, Jesus, was born of the seed of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
He was crucified, buried, and risen.
Yeah.
See, and the next thing you know, they said, we hate you, and they start stoning Stephen to death.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus stood up, it says, at the right hand of the Father, and said, we received him into heaven, his spirit. You see? So that time was back then. We think that's never going to happen again. I believe it might. But you know what? I don't believe you need to be fearful.
No.
Because Jesus already said, and we put this in the earlier portion of the service of these message, he said, do not fear him who can destroy the body. And when he's done that, that's all he can do. But destroy him who can cast body and soul into hell. That's who you need to fear. Only one person has a heaven or hell to put you in. And so I just want to say, if you're here today and for any reason you're uncertain of your salvation, we want you to be saved. Because God wants you to be saved. He wants you to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's why he said, go into the world and teach. Make disciples of all the nations. A disciple is a learner. That's why we're here. We're open for that sole purpose of teaching people what God said. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. He said, lo, I am with you all the days, even to the end of the world. See, so he's going to be with us till we breathe that last breath. We don't ever know when that's going to be. I'm not worried about it. That's where you need to get. You need to get where I'm not worried about it. God got my back already. He gave his son before I was born.
Right.
He gave me the knowledge of what he did. Let us pray.
Mm-hmm.
Lord God, we bless you. We praise you. We thank you for the gospel. It is good news, Lord, that you so loved the world, you gave your only begotten son. Whoever believes in the name of Jesus Christ, you said, shall not be put to shame.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Father, we don't have anything to offer you except to have faith in your son.
Mm-hmm.
You said, whoever has faith in your son shall be saved.
Yeah.
And so, Lord God, we come today confessing Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We invite your spirit into our lives. We invite your word into our minds. Father, we ask you to cleanse our minds, our hearts, our thoughts, our intentions, our will, and give us the boldness that you gave the early church to take a stand and tell everybody that we know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, whom you raised from the dead, who is now seated at your right hand. The next biggest event, and the most biggest event in all of humankind and human history, is the second coming of your Son, Jesus Christ. Make us ready, Lord God, when the trumpet sounds and the dead are raised incorruptible, that we want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in, help us today, Lord God. Bless anybody in the sanctuary who is now trusting Christ as their only Savior. Fill their hearts, their minds with the Holy Spirit right now, God. Seal them so that they can know that they are saved. We ask this in the matchless name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Even those that may be listening online, Lord God, bless them if they have trusted in the name of your Son, that they can know they're saved. You said, these things I write unto you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Lord God, we ask you to give that eternal life to whoever trusts in the name of Jesus Christ. And we ask it in the name of Jesus, your Son. And we want to just go ahead and give God a hand praise right now. Amen. And if you are freshly saved, you need to tell somebody and sign up with the church. That's what you ought to do. We're here for that reason. And so we're going to give you that opportunity right now. If you'd like to make St. Timothy your church home, you may come at this time. We ask that you come at this time. It is a blessing. That's why we are here. We're here to teach you. Amen. We have other services other than Sunday when we can sit with you and answer your questions about the word and tell you what you need to know, because there are a lot of questions people have. I've always had questions. I still have questions, even though I've been studying a long time. I know where the answers are, and I know the one who wrote the book.
Amen.
That makes a difference. If you know the author of the book, you can get the answer.
That's right.
You just talk to him about anything you don't understand, and he'll make it so that you get an understanding. And in the meantime, you know what? I don't have to understand everything.
That's right.
The part that he's given me to understand, I already know, and I'm going to trust that and believe and hang on to it for dear life. And I'm going to not be fearful. The psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. See, y'all prepare us a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and my cup runneth over. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. See, that's what he knew. He knew that right well. That's why he wrote that song. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. We have done as God commands. We see that there are none, but yet there is room. We hope you got a good word from the message today.